Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
And how are we doing today, Big JD?
Well, I can speak for me. I'm doing all right.
Well, I wasn't asking to speak for anybody else.
You said we. How are we doing?
Oh, I see. That's the royal we.
That's the royal we.
Which goes in the royal toilet.
Yeah. Or wherever else a royal we goes.
Well, I guess back in the olden days, and when they had castles and stuff, they used to have edicts, no pooping in the toilets, but they'd always catch the king pooping, not in the toilets, in the corners.
Right, and we talked about that on a show before as well.
Oh, is that where? I knew I heard it somewhere.
Yep, you heard it here first on the Jabbercast.
Man, this show is educational.
You heard it from Lippo. So, why do we sound like we do?
It's because I had this surgery done on my vocal cords.
No, it's not why.
People said my voice was too low.
Lippo's out on the slopes.
Yeah, I'm in beautiful, big, white British Columbia.
Is that what it's called, Big White?
Big White Resort, yeah. It's big. I mean, the actual area that it encompasses is a really large area.
And what are the mountains there rated as far as, I don't know, what it is at height and diamonds and all that stuff? They got it all?
Oh, yeah, they got it all. This is, it doesn't get a lot better than this. I'm going to say, there's maybe one or two other ones that are as nice or a bit nicer than this one. That would be Whistler and, Panorama.
Yeah, that's a very popular destination, Big White.
Yeah, this is definitely the nicest one in the Okanagan Valley.
They do anything there in the summertime? Cycling? Mountain biking,
yeah,
downhill.
And I'm thinking there's that and golf as well. And of course, fishing and boating. You know, there's little lakes in the mountains
right. Everywhere.
You know, It's very it's interesting. Like, there's thousands of people in this village right now, but to get to this village, like, you got to climb a remote mountain area to get here.
Right.
Like, we're in the middle of not much. I mean, there's nothing around us except mountains and forests and.
And how do you get there exactly? You drive in there somehow?
Yeah, we drove here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just drive up and... But it's, like I say, it's remote. You don't see... It's not like house after house. You'll just see a nice cabin off to the side. And you'll see another house, And some of these houses that are built in the mountains, the vantage points they have, it's just like, wow, that's just like one of the nicest houses I've ever seen just because of where it's at, you know what I mean?
How about wild animals?
Seen any? There's... I haven't seen any myself, no, but there's mountain goat up here. And
of course, yeah.
Of course, there's a deer and, wolves. And there's definitely, it's like I say, it's remote, and there's definitely animals in the forest.
Right.
For sure.
I just wondered if you would maybe see anything out there. And the other question I wanted to ask you was, what are you driving out there? You guys rent a vehicle or something?
We rented a Toyota Sienna.
Okay. Some kind of four-wheel drive thing? What is it?
It's a minivan.
How's the gas pedal work? Or the brake, or whatever the problems are?
Yeah, ours started to accelerate unexpectedly. But on the way up a hill. But we just smashed into a snowbank. It was no big deal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No damage.
To avoid hitting something else.
Yeah. And it was no damage in the van or anything. It's all good.
Okay.
Up here, yeah. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff up here because you got lots of snowbanks to run into. When you're going up a mountain, you kind of want that extra acceleration, so it's not so bad.
If you're running low on snow, you just run into the snowbank and get more.
The snowbank. I'd like to make a withdrawal, please, from the snowbank.
I'd like to make a withdrawal of the Big White.
Yeah. If,
well, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. I'm going to be posting some pictures on my Flickr account, which you can get to by going to flickr.com/Lippo, L-I-P-P-O.
Cool.
Yeah, check that out in about a week or so. I'll be putting my pictures up. It's extremely picturesque, I have to say.
Gotta be, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice. But what about you? What you up to this week?
Always something going on, writing this, writing that, doing this, doing that, you know.
Is Lena on March break right now?
It's exam week for her.
Ugh.
So she just wrote an exam, did well on it, as usual. I think she's got one more exam left, and she's actually done computer science.
Sweet.
And then it's continuing on with her communications. So,
wow.
Yeah, but it's for university exam week, or however long it is. Exam week, exam 2 week.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Have you got any local Windsor, Ontario area news?
I looked at the Windsor Star this morning, yeah.
How about the flesh-eating disease cases here? Isn't that crazy? Have you heard about those?
I didn't read about those. Tell me about them.
Well, there's one person, I think 40 years old, from Chrysler, just
what?
In the last week, flesh-eating disease, and died within hours.
What?
Yeah.
Die?
Richard Montague or something like that? He was a union rep?
Hmm.
I guess for like 6 years or something like that?
I saw his obit last week.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that's what he died of.
And then another case now, 46-year-old man in the hospital receiving treatment. And for what they actually, it's flesh-eating disease is what we know it as, but it's necrotizing fasciitis.
Yep, that's it.
And he's the second known case in Windsor over the past week and a half. On March 8th, 40-year-old auto worker Richard Montague died of complications caused by the infection. I guess it's treatable. If you get to a doctor or hospital right away, I guess they can give you an antibiotic. They say there's a... No.
So, I was going to say, but don't you get that from a tick or something?
Well, it's from a...
Oh, I'm thinking of Lyme disease. I'm sorry.
This is from some kind of an open wound of some kind. I don't know if it's like a scratch or something bigger than that, but an infection of some kind. And I guess there's no connection between the two cases other than the fact that they occurred within, you know, such a short period of each other. These people didn't know each other or anything like that. And I guess this new patient, his condition is cautiously stable. So this disease is grouped. It's caused by a group of streptococcus, a fairly common bacterium. It also causes strep throat. It's rare for what's this gas?
Gas
to turn into necrotizing fasciitis, but some groups of people have a greater risk of developing the infection. I don't know what this is. It is rare for gas, capital GAS. I'm just looking to see what they might have said before that, what that is or means.
Oh, I see. It's like an acronym.
Oh, group A streptococcus.
Oh, okay.
Gas, so that's what they refer to it in the short form. But some groups of people have a greater risk of developing the infection. Those groups include people with weakened immune systems, those with chronic diseases such as heart, lung, or liver disease, and people who have been in close contact with someone who has the same disease.
Wow. Scary stuff.
Yeah, makes you wonder how they actually got it anyway.
Yeah.
And if it's something that's going around, you certainly don't want it.
No.
And something else here, a missing woman's body finally found under a bed in her room, in a hotel room, I guess.
In Windsor?
No, that's not local, actually. That's Memphis.
Okay.
Woman's body had been found hidden under a bed in the same hotel room she was renting at the same time she was reported missing in January. I guess police never checked the room. Worse, the room with the body still tucked under the bed has been rented out at least 5 times since January while she was still under there. Nobody knew. Crazy, eh?
Well, you'd think she would stink, wouldn't you?
You'd think so. You know, when you die, all your bodily functions let loose, and who knows?
Wow. That's brutal.
That's wild.
That's for sure. In New Jersey, there was a... Everybody was in this Walmart. Did you hear this, sir?
No, I don't think so, no.
Someone came over the PA there and said, attention Walmart shoppers, all blacks need to leave the store.
Ooh.
Yeah. This person was quoted, Victoria Arter, we waited and waited. Some people just left their carts in disgust and said they couldn't believe it. It was busy shortly after 7 p.m. on Sunday at the Turnersville, New Jersey Walmart. She's a bank manager, and she didn't know what was going on, but she was not happy. Neither were the customers, who began dialing their cell phones and demanding answers from managers. Some just quiet, still in shock by what they heard. A few moments later, a store manager got on the public address system and began apologizing and contacted the local police.
Right. Did they catch the person that did it?
Not yet.
Then
Patricia Covington, probably not. Patricia, oh, yeah, maybe they will, because they got, you know.
Cameras, I guess, yeah.
Cameras everywhere. Patricia Covington said, I can't go back in. I went to the Target instead.
Go over the PA and the Target store. All Jews, please leave the store.
There you go.
And for more than a decade, two opposing views of the technology used for genetically engineering crops have fought for the hearts and minds of the world's farmers. At best, they've come to a standoff. The technology allows scientists to genetically manipulate common crops such as corn, cotton, soybeans, inserting traits that, in one case, lets farmers spray weed killer without hurting the crop, and in other instances, fight off insects. The effort has been embraced by some as a way to better feed a world population that's soaring, but others raise the specter of Frankenfood, whose long-term effect on human and environmental health has never been adequately studied. So, genetically modified foods are getting some attention and global debate at this time.
No, that's for sure.
As reported by USA Today.
You listen to the No Agenda podcast. They got like the... They got, like, on their soundboard is a little jingle that says, Monsanto!
Uh-huh.
Because they always talk about Monsanto, because they got patents for stuff that you can't believe they got patents on. They got patent on a pig. They got patent on corn, beans, and wheat.
Really?
Patents on certain strains of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do is trying to eliminate the other strains of these fruits and vegetables and pork. And there's other ones I'm not even mentioning, so that you'll be eating nothing but their genetically modified food.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually.
Frankenfood.
It's Frankenfood, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
I don't like the idea of it.
It's very scary that some big, large multinational company is going to have control over the food you eat and what's in it and how it affects you and the price you're going to have to pay for it and all that stuff. It's just insane that... That they're all in their infrastructure that goes around this, the farming stuff. What's the other one? Archer Daniel Midland is the other big one. They're all in cahoots doing the same type of stuff. And they're going to be in control of a lot of the world's food supply for sure.
I was just talking to a woman today who is a CEO for a hydroponics company.
Really?
And, growing food soillessly. And mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing, and I'm hoping to get her on future Jabbercast, actually, maybe in the
What about the pod show?
Or something. Quite possibly. I would like to input a show in the near future on sustainable life and sustainable economic growth and, something to that effect, because, as the world goes on... things are getting more and more difficult and more people and, all those things. And eventually we'll have to start looking. And with the onset of, theories about what's to come in the coming years with our planet and so forth. So being able to grow food in other ways, indoors and those kind of things, that's, all becoming what we have once thought of something out of, the future. Well, that future mm-hmm. is now.
So that's for sure.
Need to do a show on that kind of thing,
Yeah. I used to do a lot of work for greenhouses down in Leamington, Ontario,
mm-hmm.
who really needed some graphic work done. And it's amazing how large, huge greenhouse complexes are all, they're all, all these tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers are all, it's all hydroponic. There is no dirt in, in these greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And how precisely each plant can be given a certain amount of food and water.
Right.
And it grows to its, you know, its maximum potential, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. Very interesting stuff. And I remember going to one greenhouse in particular in Strathroy. They grew lettuce hydroponically. It was that Boston lettuce or butter lettuce, I think they call it too.
Yeah.
And that all worked like on kind of like a gravity system. There was no pumps or anything. So there was lettuce at the top of this, like a long slanted, I'm going to say just a big building board, but it was huge, big as a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the lettuce that was at the top of the slant was, that would be done, and then it would get picked off, and then all the lettuce had at the bottom would get brought up row by row. Very yeah. interesting stuff.
Couple of questions that I have about that is that it's a wonderful idea, but at some point in time, obviously not needing soil, but still needing to have those mineral resources to add to water to make these things grow,
yes,
is obviously important. And what happens if, you know, how do we get those resources? And what if we, for any reason, run out of those? Or also the water supply. Although the earth is mostly made up of water, what happens if it's all contaminated at some point? So those are the questions that arise from me.
Yeah.
And
good questions for sure.
Hopefully we'll talk to somebody about that soon on the show. So keep an eye out for that. And if that's all for news, we can get into today's topic.
I wanted to ask you, did you see Alice in Wonderland yet, though?
Most of it.
Okay. And what was your impression?
I don't know. Okay, oh, okay, for like a fantasy type thing. I think if I was on drugs, it'd be cool. One of those things, you know what I mean? But I think the characters are pretty cool. Johnny Depp is, I mean, the animation is really good, and the look of it is pretty cool for, you know, the type of film that it is. And Johnny Depp is, I find Johnny Depp is kind of weird, but he's a fantastic actor. You know, the roles that he plays and his diversity and his, you know, I think he's great. So I like to watch him.
Of course, because did you hear that Tim Burton is going to be doing a version of The Addams Family?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, it's pretty wild that they have, I mean, that was a TV show, obviously, but then I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they had one or two movies, old movies, like after the Addams Family was done, but then they had the more recent, like from the 80s or something, Addams Family 90s. Movies?
90s? It was in the 90s, yeah.
And then they're going to do it, they're going to do it again, you know what I mean?
Burton, his version is going to be based on Charles Addams' original cartoons.
Oh, okay, the cartoons that were on Sunday mornings and that, or Saturdays?
Well, this is like...
Or that even older?
It's older. Like, I want to say it was like 20s and 30s.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's what the TV show in the 70s was based on.
Well, it's pretty cool, but I would like to see people like him do an original. You know, they can base it on that. You know, have it something similar, but a new family, a new, you know, a whole new thing. That's what I would like to see, creative, something new, instead of rehashing something old and trying to make it better when it isn't always better, you know what I mean?
Right. We always have some point of reference
to the old, yeah.
Yeah, so that, I realize that's not always good. But anyway, sorry. Yeah, let's get into the topic of the week,
which is sayings, I guess. Wherever you go, there you are, and other sayings. Another example, when I finally found myself, there I was.
Yeah.
Some may be wacky and some maybe not. A lot of sayings are taken from so many different... I find that a lot of sayings come from Shakespearean plays.
That's right.
And I think a lot are Bible references.
Yeah, there's... And, yeah. For sure. And both of those examples are pre-worldwide literacy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think, and that's why they stuck. So I think, you know, when Shakespeare was around, the people who saw Shakespeare really couldn't read or write. They just went and looked at the play.
And also nautical phrases. I find a lot of things are coined at sea.
Those are some interesting ones, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one comes to mind for you?
Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. There's one. That's a saying.
And it's extremely true, of course.
Yeah.
I say red sky at night, start taking pictures, but never caught on.
Here's some, these ones here, I have a list of some that seem to be like life type sayings.
I'm glad to hear that.
Let's go through some of the, no guy is worth your tears, and the one who is won't make you cry.
That's very interesting. That's a lot of women, if you're listening to this show, that's good advice for your life.
And there are.
Just because there's a guy who's making lots of money, and he's good looking, he'll probably make you cry.
Oh, I thought you were starting to talk about your co-host.
I was, but I didn't. I tried to veil it.
The two most common elements in the world are hydrogen and stupidity.
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize that.
I don't know who said that, but when you hear it, I guess you do realize certainly a possibility.
That probably wasn't Shakespeare, though, was it?
The worst way to miss someone is to have them sitting right next to you and know you can never have them.
Yeah. I know that feeling. Or I knew that feeling, I should say.
Here's one we've probably mentioned some derivatives of on the show and probably in passing in our lives. Always laugh when you can. It is cheaper than medicine. So that's like the saying, you know, that laughter is the best medicine.
Right. Right along the same lines. Laugh while you can. Is that what it says? Laugh while you can?
Always laugh when you can. It always is cheaper laugh. Than okay. medicine.
Yeah. I follow that advice. And the funny thing is, laughter is often contagious.
Yeah. And that's like another kind of a saying too, isn't it?
Sure. I just said it.
Yeah. There you go.
You're welcome.
Here's one that's kind of wacky. Suicide is a way of telling God, you can't fire me, I quit.
Mm.
That must be out of the Bible.
Maybe, but I doubt it. Yeah. And if you actually believe in a God, and he still has control over, you know, if you believe at least in an afterlife of some kind, whether you be Buddha or Hindu or Christian or whatever, all those religions frown on suicide. And I think if you commit suicide and you believe in whatever the reincarnation was, you kind of go somewhere for a million years or whatever and you don't get reincarnated.
Well, they say that if you commit suicide, you don't go to heaven.
Yeah, that's the Christian.
How about this? If love isn't a game, then why are there so many players?
The players are not interested in love. They're interested in playing.
How about this? A person who never makes mistakes never makes anything.
That's right. You have to... there's another saying that's right, exactly the same thing. It's like, you got to crack some eggs to something like that. But
yeah, you got to crack a few eggs to something.
Yeah, but if you don't make any, like you say, if you don't make any mistakes, you will not make anything.
That's right. How are you going to learn if not from your mistakes? Hey, there's a saying from Big JD. How about this? I like this. Never look back unless you're planning to go that way.
Nice one. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Do you go that way?
I've gone a few different ways, but I've never gone back. If you love somebody, set them free. If they return, they were always yours. If they don't, they never were. I've heard that a few different ways, but that's a pretty good saying. If you love something, let it go.
Set it free.
If it doesn't return, it was never yours to begin with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drown the man who taught you to swim. That's like don't bite the hand that feeds, I guess, or something.
Yes, exactly. That's a good idea. You shouldn't be drowning anybody, that's for sure.
We'll take a little break and we'll come back with some phrases coined by William Shakespeare. These phrases coined by William Shakespeare pretty much come out of his plays.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these that seem to have stuck through the years are things like, as dead as a doornail.
That's William Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Wow.
And because
this used to say that.
Yeah. Because this shows might be a little shorter than usual, I may not get into all their origins, but... the origin of this, at least 14th century, there's reference to it in print in 1350. Shakespeare used it in King Henry the VI, Part 2, in 1592. So that's where it comes from, one of his plays, and it goes on to read, you know, what he said in the play for where I got this information. So anyway.
And what exactly is a door nail?
That's a good question. A doornail?
Yeah.
Probably something just that is kind of useless. You know, holds a door together. I'm assuming that's all it really refers to.
I thought maybe it was a nail that went into the front of a door that people hung stuff on. Because I know back in the day, people used to hang stuff on their door to symbolize something or to make note of something. Or, you know, I know back in the times of... the plagues and stuff, they had, you know, they put stuff on their door. But I don't know if the doornail has anything to do with that. Know what I mean?
Yes, I do. That could very well be. Why doornails are cited as a particular example of deadness isn't clear. Doornails are the large-headed studs that were used in earlier times for strength and more recently as decoration. The practice was to hammer the nail through and then bend over the protruding end to secure it. This process, similar to riveting, was called clenching. This may be the source of deadness, as such a nail would be unusable afterwards. I guess so. Basically, so just something useless. That is a doornail.
Now we know. Isn't that internet stuff amazing?
It's incredible.
Just like that. We scour the internet so you don't have to.
Brevity is the soul of wit. As cold as any stone. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Oh, yes. If you keep it short and sweet, you can usually make someone laugh. Rodney Dangerfield is a master of, was a master of brevity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was funny as heck.
A horse, my kingdom for a horse. We've heard that saying quite a bit, my kingdom for a horse, or sometimes people have changed that, my such and such for a, you know what I mean?
Right.
My kingdom for a cigarette right now, or whatever.
I will give everything I own if you can possibly give me this impossible-to-get item,
right.
Basically.
A dish fit for the gods.
Dish fit.
Obviously means a very good meal.
Oh, is it? Because my wife, when she doesn't cook something good, she has a dish fit.
Dish fit.
Did you obviously got my picture of the Easy Craft Easy Mac.
I'm looking at it now, and it's a real thing.
I wouldn't lie to you, buddy.
Wow. That's something.
That's the...
we should give one of those away on... have Jeff and Mike give one away on the Easy Mac podcast.
Or a case of it.
Eaten, and speaking of craft, eaten out of house and home. That's from Shakespeare.
That's a Shakespeare thing, too. Yeah, I've heard that a million times, too.
Good riddance.
That's just goodbye, isn't it? Oh, good riddance. Just go away.
Yeah. It's more like a...
but not in a bad way. I want you to go away, but I'm glad you're gone.
Love is blind.
And these are all Shakespeare stuff.
Yeah. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? A lot of good stuff there from him.
Of course. A lot of people don't even believe he was a man. I mean, like he was one guy. A lot of people think that he had a...
Really? I
like
never heard that.
Like if he had a, you know, whoever, it was a staff of writers and they were all in cahoots and they called themselves William Shakespeare.
Well, if it definitely was one man, which I am under the assumption it was, right. He was pretty good. Two other quick ones from him, Wild Goose Chase, which is very popular, and Woe Is Me.
Wow, those are all just huge things that are used today.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And those are, they're so, what's that called, ubiquitous that, you know, people just say them and we don't even think twice about, you know, their origin or whatever. We just know what that means.
Let's come back with some phrases coined at sea.
Hey folks, Big JD here. Just wanted to let you know about my Big 30. Incorporating the Jeff and Lana Show, the Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show, and my You Talking to Me interview show in a 130-minute podcast. 10 minutes with Lana, a 10-minute interview with a new guest every week, and 10 minutes of tunes. You get it all in the Big 30. It's fast, it's a blast, and it's come to pass. Big JD's Big 30. Subscribe free on iTunes or from www.myspace.com/BigJD's Big 30.
Okay, a few things here. Coined at sea. Anchors away.
Of course.
I guess there's some doubt in the public mind as to how this phrase should be spelled, whether it's anchors away or anchors A-W-E-I-G-H, but obviously would come from sometime during one of the wars. What else have we got?
Why would you suspect that it has something to do with wars?
I suppose, as opposed to the pirate days or something.
I'm thinking a lot of these nautical sayings came out during the whaling period of civilization. Like what was the famous book? Moby Dick.
Right.
I'm almost going to think you're going to tell me one of these Moby Dick sayings in your list of nautical sayings.
Well, I'm looking for where this might have actually come from. There's a lot of information on here. Admiral William Henry Smith in his Nautical Dictionary, the Sailor's Word Book, 1867, listed this entry for a trip. Synonymous with the old, now defunct terms, a peak and a trip. I don't know. There's showing a picture here of a, I don't know. What is the anchor away? The meaning of the word was nevertheless not the same as a current away, removed to a distance, meaning, but rather the away being weighed, meaning. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's too much to get into.
Give me another nautical saying.
Tell it to the Marines. Okay, that came from war. Walk the plank. Obviously, from the days of the pirates. Aye, matey.
Well, why did they make him walk a plank anyway? Why didn't they just throw him overboard? Just gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it was some sort of form of entertainment. Hand over fist.
Hand over fist.
And hard and fast. And high and dry. Those are both
albums by somebody.
Yeah. Def Leppard.
Fastway, wasn't it? There was another one. What was Fastway's?
No.
High and Dry. No, High and Dry is the...
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard. What was the other one you said?
Hard and Fast.
Oh, that's what I'm just thinking of Fastway.
Yeah, yeah, that we didn't have an album called that, but so there's quite a few. Some that don't sound familiar to me, but, you know, I'll Shake a Leg. That's a big one. And Shiver My Timbers.
Shake a leg! Shake a leg!
AC/DC. Shiver My Timbers. And I'm used to hearing that as Shiver Me Timbers.
Aye.
So lots of good ones there. And we'll take another break and come back with Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Sounds good.
Need a fix for some cool music? Check out Mike LaPlante's Border City Radio podcast. Visit www.bordercityradio.com or search Border City Radio at the iTunes Store.
Oh, behave.
This week's Sunday Morning Music Mayhem is the Yardbirds live at Birdland 2003. I'm not talking.
That.
And the reason I'm choosing I'm not talking this week is because he says a couple of fairly popular sayings in there. And I don't know if this one's actually Yardbirds or from somewhere else, but I'm not talking. That's what I've got to say. So I don't know if they wrote that and that, or if that was actually from, you know, a saying from some era. I'm not
That's
talking.
Early.
That's what
That's
I got
early
to say.
Early Yardbirds.
This is obviously later Yardbirds, and I don't think anybody's original. And there might be a couple guys in here, but and the other one is "Don't call me, I'll call you." That's also a term in that song, and that's something that kind of sticks for people these days. You know, when you actually don't want to talk to somebody, "Don't call me, I'll call you."
Right.
Sarcastically speaking, I guess. So.
And you kind of leave it open that way.
Right. Right. So here you go, Yardbirds live at Birdland 2003. I'm not talking.
I got saved. I used to think I knew it. Man, I'm sure I grew it. The things that seem to matter don't mix with idle chatter. That's one thing I could do without. I'm not talking, but that's what I got saved. If I said things were splendid, someone might be offended. If I said things were awful, it might just be unlawful. Call me, baby, I'll call you. Talking, but that's what I got to say. If I said things around midnight, ain't gonna save me daylight. I've reached this firm conclusion to all my mass confusion. Don't call me, baby, I'll call you. I got saved. I used to think I knew it. Man, I sure I grew it. The things that seem to matter don't mix with idle chatter. That's one thing I could do without.
All right, there you have some Yardbirds live at Birdland.
That's a great album. CD, whatever.
Very cool, yeah. No albums, no CDs anymore.
No, just a piece of work. A release, I like to call them.
Ah, a release.
Or I should say, Mike over at Border City Radio calls it a release.
And that'd be the Border City Radio podcast?
And you find that at bordercityradio.com.
There you go.
This is Big JD's Aunt Shirley.
And Big JD's Uncle Brian.
And Big JD.
And you're listening to Big JD and Lippo.
On the Jabbercast.
Let's get into a few of the sayings, phrases that come from the Bible, because there's a lot of popular things that stick today that come from there. Eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah, that sounds medieval.
I'll go through a bunch of these. All things must pass.
Of course.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Mm-hmm.
Fall from grace. There might be even a band called Fall from Grace, I think.
Yes, and even a song probably too.
Lamb to the slaughter.
Yeah.
That was actually, Lambs to the Slaughter was a song by Raven. band called Raven, a metal band from like the 80s. It was actually pretty cool. Blind Leading the Blind. The Root of the Matter. Writing is on the Wall. 3 Score and 10. Cast the First Stone. And another Woe Is Me, which was from Shakespeare. Woes. So that must Shakespeare must have got it from the Bible somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that stuff was, you know, everybody's influenced by something, and Shakespeare was obviously influenced by the word of the day, and there wasn't too many words to read other than the Bible.
And here's one I like, and never really, I don't know if I've actually heard this one before, Give Up the Ghost. That's to die, or in the case of inanimate objects, to cease working. And I guess there's many uses of this phrase in the Bible. And this particular article goes on to explain these origins and where it comes from. But pretty neat. Cool stuff. A lot of cool sayings out there that, you know, people use them from time to time in their lives, but don't really realize that where they came from, or just, you know, when you start adding them all up, all these things that you've heard over the years. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Like, never trust a person with 2 first names. That's one of my favorites. I made that up.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I think we even talked about that last week's show.
I think we did. That's right. Didn't we do a name show or no? Or a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that's when it was anyway.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not sure if you've heard this, but reports suggest that Google has joined forces with Intel and Sony to build a set-top box that will bring the internet to TV screens. Google will attempt to change the way people use their television sets by developing a new platform to bring the best of the internet to TV screens. The search giant is believed to be working with Sony and Intel to develop a system called Google TV, and has built a prototype set-top box in an effort to provide a better way for people to surf the web through their televisions. So I kind of had a feeling that was happening, and the word was, you know, bubbling even like a year ago about something like this happening, that Google was going to get into this market. And it makes perfect sense, because they're also spearheading a movement to get extremely fast internet to majors, at first major metropolitan areas. So, and I have to think that it's all to support video. So have you heard that?
I haven't heard that exactly, but okay. I did see that Microsoft has got some new box, YDI or something like that, for streaming content from the computers to the TV.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, it's some new thing I guess they have now too, and all things are heading that way, I guess, to... Because people spend so much time still in front of the television set, you know, trying to incorporate the computer with that again. Because remember, there used to be web TV or something like that. Remember that?
Well, yeah.
You have the internet on your television.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well that worked. With the connection of a computer to a television, what is the biggest thing that you would want to be able to do on your television that has anything to do with your computer? Is it surf the net? Is it watch movies? Is it surf YouTube? Is it watch content from like the, you know, Hulu TV type places like that? What would be the number one thing for you that you would want to do on your TV that has anything to do with your computer?
I'd have to say it's the internet video content stuff, like, you know, Twit TV, Dignation, other news type programs, and of course YouTube. That would be my main thing, and then And of course, there'd be movies that I could also either purchase or whatever, you know, to get on my TV from my computer.
Right. So it's not really...
Surfing. It's no, there'd be no computer functionality. It's the functionality of video on your computer that has transformed over time, and it really is not a good fit, whereas, you know, the video that's on that we get in our browsers and stuff like that, it's a good fit for your television, of course.
Yeah, the television is where we watch video, and you don't really realize, you know, a lot of people probably don't realize how limited that is until you have a computer and have access to so much more that's available on the internet as far as video viewing.
Right.
quote.
This week's quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of used skis and snowboards. You can find them at the corner of Wabash and Strabane in beautiful Burbank, California.
And the quote this week from Plato, not to be confused with Plato, when the mind is thinking, it is talking to itself.
That's absolutely correct. And some people can't stop that process when they really should, to get on with the next thing or to perform the task at hand with better results, I guess. Sometimes thinking is not a good thing.
And some people think so much it's a good thing we can't hear them, I guess.
You know it.
So next week, March 28th, will be the Pot Show. And no, it's not a gardening show. Not entirely, anyways. But we'll talk about all things pot, cannabis, and hemp.
Yeah.
Will we not?
Sounds good. Yes, we will. And of course, since you're an expert in the field, that we're going to get lots of information from you.
Lippo's got to go. He's got to get out on the slopes.
You know it. There's only today's last day here, so we're going to do it all up right now. Sun's shining and the conditions are awesome.
All right. Have a blast. Break a leg. No, don't break a leg.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right. You have fun and enjoy your trip, and I'll see you when you're back. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.